Hello, I'm Andrew Corbett, and welcome to our small group Bible study series, How Then Shall We Now Live? We are in study number 9, based on Romans chapter 15, verses 8 to 13. It's called Be Joyful. Again, I remind you that the time that your small group meets is not just about information. It's about transformation. And as something as simple as a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a cold drink, a glass of Coke or whatever it is, can actually do something very, very beneficial, and that is develop community among the group members. And when you develop community, you're also developing trust. And when you develop trust, you're also developing transparency. And this is really, really important for the group to be able to care for each other and to be able to share openly as they just reveal their prayer requests later on in the meeting. So as you open the night or the afternoon or the morning, whenever you're meeting, with some refreshments, just bear that in mind. Let it go, and at the appropriate time, move on into whether it be the lounge room or the rumpus room, wherever it is, to commence the study. Using the template, or you don't have to use the template, but we're going to ask the questions to go around the room. One thing you're thankful for, one thing you'd like prayer for. And as people respond to that, just take a note of that and use those prayer points at the end of the night. Now, this is based out of Romans chapter 15, verses 8 to 13. Those scriptures will come up throughout the course of the night. So there's no need to necessarily read that paragraph or read that section before you start the study. I would suggest you invite someone, perhaps someone that you haven't asked, to read the opening paragraph. And it says this: Paul was a Jew. In chapters 9 to 11 of Romans, Paul has already stated his heartfelt burden for his fellow countrymen, the circumcised, to come to know Christ. But he was also the apostle to the Gentiles, Romans chapter 11 and verse 13. So that says, now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. It appears that the church in Rome was comprised of both Jews and Gentiles, because in this next section, he addresses them both. Question 1. Does this have any bearing on his instructions in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 to 7? Which was in the previous section. So let's refresh. It says that, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So, does this have any bearing on the instructions in that passage? Yeah, it appears that Paul is wanting to address the issue that Jew and Gentile should get along in the church, and he was encouraging them to do so, not to see themselves as two separate groups, but to now see themselves as one, the body of Christ, the church. Question 2, according to Romans chapter 15, verse 8, which says, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. So based on that verse, who was Christ primarily sent to? Well, if it's based on that verse, he was primarily sent to the Jews. Now, I'll just make the distinction after this. There is a big difference between primarily and exclusively. Primarily means first. Exclusively means only. So there's a difference there. We've got to be careful. Question 3. Based on Romans chapter 15, verses 9 to 12, which says, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Verse 10. And again, it said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles hope. Based on that passage, was it also God's intention for Christ to redeem Gentiles? Well, clearly, yes, absolutely. The prophets foretold of this, and that's really, I hope as your group discusses this, a part of the explanation to see that God's plan of salvation was never just exclusively for the Jews. It was designed for the world. Israel was meant to be a light, to be a light to the whole world. It seems that Paul was wanting both Jewish and Gentile believers to be humble and to avoid the temptation to boast that they, more than the others, were the object of God's redeeming grace. So you can see how that might play out. Jews felt, well, we have the patriarchs, the ancestors, the covenants. We've long walked with God. And of course, Gentiles might boast that, no, God has now got a new plan and we're the center of it, us Gentiles. So you could see how this was playing out. Question four, read Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, which says, "And so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." Now, of course, that's not to say there's no such thing as a Jew or a Greek anymore, no such thing as a slave or free, no such thing as male or female. It's actually talking about access to God. That none of those things give you more access than anything else. We all in Christ have equal access to God through Christ. What do these verses tell us about who, Jews or Gentiles, have the greatest advantage before God? Well, it tells us that all those who are in Christ have equal access and therefore have equal advantage before God. Question five, what promises might Paul be referring to in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, which says, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs." Consider Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, which says, "And he brought him outside and said, 'Look toward the heavens and number the stars, if you are able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" And just go to the last verse here where it says, and compare this with Galatians 3:29, which says, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." So what promises might Paul be referring to? The promises that God gave to the patriarchs, the promise that God said that their descendants would be spiritual descendants, people who would be a part of the kingdom, who would belong together and be found in Christ. Paul is writing this passage to encourage both Jewish and Gentile Christians to endure the hardships they were going through for Christ. Romans chapter 15, verses 4 to 5. So again, we saw this in our last section. It says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus." So consider Romans chapter 15, verses 9 to 11. What does God expect redeemed Gentiles will do after they have turned to Christ? So Romans chapter 15, verses 9 to 11 says, "And in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.'" And again, it is said, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." Again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples extol him." So what's expected of Gentiles once they have been redeemed and turned to Christ? That they will worship God, that they will glorify God, that they will join with those who've also been redeemed, and together with one voice, it says, worship through singing together in brotherly unity and worship and honor and glorify Christ. Question seven, at the time Paul wrote this epistle, where did most of the Gentiles probably look to for hope? Well, probably to Roman gods, probably to the Roman Empire, probably to maybe Caesar. They looked anywhere but the God of the Bible. And so now that they have come to Christ, their source of hope has radically changed. Question eight, Where did Isaiah the prophet declare that redeemed Gentiles would hope? Well, in verse 12, it says, and again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. So where will they look to for hope? In Christ. The next time we're tempted to feel overwhelmed or hopeless, we too should put our hope in Christ by casting all of our cares onto him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 7 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Question 9, read Romans chapter 15, verse 13, which says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. What can we learn about how to pray for each other from Paul's prayer in this verse? Well, we can pray that people get a revelation that God is the God of hope. We can pray that the God of hope fills them with hope and encouragement. We can pray, according to this verse, prayers that will just cause people to overflow with trust and confidence in God. And if you don't know anyone to pray for like that, please pray for me. I could use that. We might distinguish joy from happiness. I just put that there, and hopefully that provokes people to raise the question. Joy is an abiding response to the peace of God, and happiness is what's happening in our circumstances. The last question, question 10. Read the following scripture references and note what is closely connected to biblical joy. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 20, it says, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. And again, you'll see that in Isaiah 55:12. There's a connection between peace and joy. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And chapter 15, verse 13, we read it just a moment ago. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So I hope that people can see that there is good reason to be full of joy when you are full of hope. And when you are full of joy, you are also experiencing the peace of God. As group leader, you will remind the group of the prayer requests that each one asked at the start of the meeting. And starting on your left, just have that person go one by one around the room and pray one of the prayer requests. And probably by the time it gets to you, as you close in prayer, you may have to just bring out a prayer request that was overlooked because it was just overlooked. So maybe someone prayed something that wasn't a request, but it came up through the study. Well, God bless you. We'll be back for our next study, study number 10, which is entitled Be Faithful, based out of Romans chapter 15, verses 14 to 21. I'm Andrew Corbett. Thanks very much for doing this study.